Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman, joined as always by Mike Morial. Mike, the draft is ever approaching, ever getting closer, and we've got a really special guest. We've got a really special story up on NHL.com, kind of diving into the draft and the draft class and how the draft could go.
Yes, indeed, Adam. Great to be back with you for some discussion on many of the top players in this year's draft class. Jason Bukala of Sportsnet on today's episode to help us break it down and provide some added insight, which is going to be great. A lot to talk about today, Adam. The number of NCAA players at the top of this class, I'm proud to say NHL.com's list of the top 32, as you said, available in the draft was released today. Three of the top five are freshmen in college, so that's crazy to even think about. Celebrini at Boston University, Lefschnoff at Michigan State, and Ziv Buyum at Denver have been absolutely lights out this season. 11 of the top 32 are defensemen, a position of strength in this year's class. And keep in mind, eight defensemen went in round one of the 23 draft, and that number projects to hit double digits this year. There were seven centers, but the first forward listed happens to be a right wing in Ivan Demidov, who Jason Bukala thinks very highly of, and we'll get into that with him in our interview. But this year's draft in general, Adam, it's just, what makes it so interesting to me is the fact that there's going to be not subtle changes, but a lot of changes on everyone's final list come June. I just think it's going to be differing from maybe from 3, 4 through 25, 30. You're going to see different players listed, but maybe the same caliber of players.
If you look back at last year, we all knew who was going to go number one. We kind of had an idea who was going to go 2, 3. Maybe we didn't know the order, but we sort of had an idea. This year, we know who's going to be number one. I think we're all pretty much in agreement. It's going to be Mack and Celebrini. But then at number two, it's a giant question mark. Like, there's a lot of different directions teams could be looking. So that's going to be really fun. And we'll get back into the top 32 that's up on NHL.com right now. But let's bring in our guest today, Jason Bukala from Sportsnet. Thank you for joining us today, Jason. Let's jump right into it. Macklin Celebrini, the freshman at Boston University. He's been the consensus top-rated player all season long. Two questions. What's impressed you the most about Celebrini this season? And how big do you think is the gap between him and the rest of this year's draft group?
Well, let's go with the easy one first. The gap is pretty extensive, so I'll get that one out of the way right away. No disrespect to the people in the second slot. I mean, for me personally, I've got Demidov number two, and I know that there's a range there. Some people have the defenseman Slyanov or even Lefschinov. There's a range, but for me, there's a gap. But what impresses me the most about this player, guys, is that he's a competitive three-zone offensive weapon. So he doesn't just play the game. He's not a one-trick pony. Like, he tracks up and down the ice 200 feet. If he gives the puck away in the offensive zone, makes a kind of a risky play high in the zone, let's say on his own entry, and he turns the puck over, he's on his tail to back check and make sure that he recovers from his error, if you will, his turnover. He doesn't want to be on the score sheet for a minus based off a soft play on his own entry. Not all offensive players are like that. We've seen it, right? Over the years, some guys, when they turn a puck over, there's a little bit of a delay in their back check. I don't want to call it a sulk, but there's certainly that moment where they're like, down on themselves for a millisecond. In the NHL, that ends up with pucks in your net back at the in your end. So, hey, listen, quick out of the gate, fast in transition, rips pucks from the flank on the power play, goes to the hard areas for secondary chances. I think he's pretty close to a complete player. He's not a giant, as we know, but it's not going to matter because his tenacity will win out.
So, yeah, Jay, right there, I mean, you kind of summed it up for us, but, that gap between Macklin and maybe number 2, 3 is significant. That said, though, do you see Macklin returning to BU or playing NHL hockey next season? And as a second part, I'm just curious, is there a former or current NHL player you would best compare Celebrini to?
Yeah, great question. I think we all get that one a lot, right? We're looking at that. Personally, I don't see him returning to BU. I believe he's NHL ready. The way that he plays the game, he's plenty strong enough. That's my guess at this point. We'll see what team drafts him, though. We've seen it in the past when Power went back to Michigan, for example, and there's some anomalies that way. But for me personally, I think he's NHL ready. My comparables are twofold, guys. He's kind of a mesh between like a Jonathan Toews with his detail, his leadership, the way he plays the game. But he's got some Fantilli. So for people listening, you know, like last year with Fantilli coming out of Michigan, you know, how quick and darting Fantilli is. He's also got Fantilli in him. So, you know, there are nights I look at him and I say, is he kind of like Nathan MacKinnon even? But that's pretty rich. I don't want to lay that on his plate, if you will. But I hope I'm kind of painting a picture there. Responsible, you know, quick, plays it a variety of ways. So I'm pretty comfortable with a combo of Toews and Fantilli.
That's pretty high praise. I'm wondering about a guy that we haven't really seen a lot of this season because of injury, Caden Lindstrom from Medicine Hat in the Western League. He's been out since December because of an upper body injury. Before he got hurt, though, 27 goals in 32 games. Two questions. You know, do you have any idea when he could be back in the lineup this season? And how much stock will this injury go into when teams rate him, review him? Does he fall down the draft board a little bit with some teams because of this injury?
Yeah, interesting. My initial response is probably not, but it's going to depend on the medical, guys. So he's suffered some setbacks. I don't want to, until I see the medical, I don't want to reveal anything that's out of line on you know, for anybody, especially the player. But he suffered some setbacks, and it's kind of extended the time on the shelf, if you will. But I have to say this, that it's interesting for me, before he got injured, playing the role he played in Medicine Hat, obviously you recited his statistics. You know, he leans goal scorer more than playmaker. He'll extend plays along the wall with his big body and close on guys to create turnovers. But he's not one of those guys in transition that's going to, you know, dish and make plays necessarily. He's a better zone entry. I get it. I extend it. I get pucks to that kind of guy. When he went out of the lineup, Medicine Hat, who has a good team this year, they had a much more difficult time matching up against higher end teams in the Western Hockey League. So, for example, when they go in to play Saskatoon and Fraser Mitton is on the other side of the ice, Lindstrom had that task before, and now they didn't have that body in their lineup, and you could see how not having him really affected the group. So I had him at 12. He's actually gone up in my ranking, even though he's on the shelf, because I felt like I had to do more homework and I was creating some sort of a bias that was unknown. Now that I've broken him down even further, God, he's, you know, guys like Ryan Getzlaff come to mind when I see this player. And, you know, again, that's rich. So I don't want to, but you know what I mean? Like when I see a big body like that who can extend it, Getzy wasn't really a guy in transition that would push it necessarily, but extend it and obviously score goals. So, that's the kind of big body Lindstrom could be.
Yeah, I got him number 7 on my top 32, which ran today on .com. Jay, I noticed in your top 40 that is on Sportsnet.ca right now, real good read. I noticed you have forward Ivan Demidov number 2 in your ranking. You mentioned that earlier for us. Why Demidov over, say, you know, the right-handed D-man starring in the NCAA right now at Michigan State, freshman Artem Leshnov, number 4 on your list, or even that 6'7 defenseman Anton Siliev of Torpedo in the KHL?
Yeah, you know, we could really be splitting hairs. For me, it came down to this. The most dynamic upside, the highest floor, and definitely the highest ceiling is Demidov. And this kid is better than Michkov was last year, in my opinion. That's just me. When he was playing in the KHL level before he suffered the knee injury, he was really, let's take a look at that. Like they farmed Michkov out, Scott did. They farmed him back out to Sochi, and they kept Demidov on their active roster this year as a draft eligible. Now, listen, there's a lot of political thinking that goes on in the Russian game. We all understand that, right? So I don't know what the ins and outs were of that. All I know is this, the kid earned it in my eyes. So he's a dynamic offensive talent, you know, fast, great handles, quick release in small areas. Like when he catches a puck between the hash marks in the middle of the ice, it's on and off his stick really quick. And he's got a good, solid hockey brain, guys. Like his spatial awareness is strong for being an offensive guy. So he doesn't cut corners in my estimation. And he's on an absolute, he can't be playing in the MHL. I don't know if you guys have seen the stats. It's absolutely asinine. Like 29 points in the last 10 games type of thing. It's crazy, right? When we get into Slyanov, I actually have him at 3. It's rare that I would put a defenseman per se in that slot. But at 6'7", and the way that his mobility and agility, like the way he projects, wow, like you see him in Colorado playing beside McCarr. You see him in Vancouver playing beside a Hughes and, you know, helping to shut down or kind of being that guy that allows those guys to be the whirling dervishes that they can be and keep, you know, protecting the house, but still being capable of moving pucks. So I had him at 3. I've tracked Levshinov pretty religiously. I've been at some of his games live recently. I love the fact that he's super aggressive. He pitches down to extend plays. He's got better than secondary offense for the NHL game, I believe. I think he's a power play one candidate. But there's some sleepiness sometimes defensively, which is okay. You can coach that up. There was just like these little subtle differences in his game compared to the other two that I had to kind of feel. I felt like I had to coach him up in certain categories more than the other two, if that makes sense. And that's why he played out like that for me for now anyways.
So, all right. So we just talked about a couple of really top end defensemen, Levshinov and Saleyev. You know, you've got Sam Dickinson from London, Carter Yakimchuk from Calgary, Zeev Bouliam from Denver, Zane Parikh from Saginaw. And the list, there's a lot of top end D. It reminds me a little bit of the 08 draft when we had Dowdy, Petrangelo, Erik Karlsson, John Carlson, Bogosian, Tyler Myers all go in the first round. Roman Josi went in the second round. It's considered one of, not the best group of defensemen in a draft. So 15 years from now, is there a chance we're looking at this year's cohort the same way we look at this year's group of defensemen?
Yeah, that's interesting. I definitely see the comparison. There's no doubt. The only thing that, so on balance, I think talent-wise, I think there's an opportunity for that. Absolutely. Some of these guys, you know, in draft cycles, guys, sometimes we get guys at the top of the list who they were really good early, and then they're still, you know, they're established, but they kind of flatline a little bit. They don't keep going up, if you will, but they still hold their position in the draft cycle because of, you know, who they are already. This cycle here, I find that a lot of those names you just mentioned, especially the Yakimchuk kid in Calgary, they just keep getting better and better and better. So I think there's an opportunity for that. The only caveat, of course, is the fact that we're in such a new breed NHL right now. All these organizations bring along their prospects at different times. They develop them different. We got cap. We got a whole bunch of things. And I wonder sometimes if we're going to be able to get that continuity the way a Josi has in Nashville with all these guys as they start coming through, and they're going to have that staying power with one organization, which sometimes allows them to prosper and be the best version of themselves for a longer period of time. But on balance, the talent level, Adam, so it's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I had, just off the top of my head, I think I had maybe 11 defensemen in my top 32, and center-wise, it looks pretty deep too, Jay, and I know you were similar in what you had in your top 40. There are several maybe polarizing prospects in this class. Two-part question here on one of those players in Cole Eiserman with the National Team Development Program. First, yes or no, he has the best release or shot of anyone in this draft class. And second, what's missing from his game and needed for him to move up most draft boards?
Best release of the draft, absolutely. I mean, backdoor rips pucks on the puck. I mean, it's elite, right? It's absolutely the best. So I have some history in the game with Owen Tippett when we drafted him in Florida. And now you guys see him in Philly, right? He's getting, you know, he's figuring it out in Philly. And you guys all know how he rips a puck. Like it's fantastic. This guy, arguably in the National Hockey League, he's probably, we could sit here and debate it over a beer and some chicken wings, but he's probably got the top three or four releases maybe in the NHL, right, Tip? So Eiserman is similar in his draft cycle in that Tip fell to us at 10. And a lot of it was because of his off the puck and his three zone detail. And to be quite frank, his effort at times, recognizing that we need more out of you. You can't be late on an offensive zone exit with 5 minutes left in the game when we're protecting a one goal lead. For example, yeah, we want you to score the next goal. We'd love to have a two goal lead, but we also don't want to have this game tied, if that makes sense. So, Eiserman, I have to give him credit. I do see the effort. Okay. I have seen more effort at the Five Nations in February. I did see some more effort, 50% improvement. Let's just say it that way. Okay. But here's the thing. When I talk about coaching up an athlete, coaching up a prospect, he needs to be coached up because he's gotten away with it for so long that when he does get in a defensive position, his awareness and his, okay, it's like, I'm here now, but what do I really do sometimes? So when I factor all that in, that's where why he lands where he lands on my draft board. I love his offensive upside. I'm not discounting any of that. It's just that other guys have played more consistently and gotten better and better, and they've gone by him a little bit with their elements right now.
You know, I know exactly what you're talking about being in Philadelphia. I see Owen Tippett all the time. So, yeah, nobody shoots the puck the way he does. It's been interesting watching that maturation of his game plan for John Tortorella. We'll have to see if Cole Yzerman sort of can follow that same route. But one of the guys that I've really been intrigued by in this year's draft group is Dean Letourneau, 6'6", 210-pound center, playing Canadian prep school hockey at St. Andrews College, about an hour north of Toronto. So, you know, you've got the size, 118 points in 52 games, certainly jumps off the page. But, you know, as a scout, how do you kind of rate him versus the level of competition? Because I would think it's below what he would have faced in the Ontario League, below what he faced even in the U.S. Hockey League. You know, he's going the college route. He's going to play at Boston College. But how do you sort of assess a guy who has those kind of numbers and that kind of size, but he's, you know, big fish in a little pond kind of theory?
Yeah, so I'm sure you guys are familiar with Mark Jankowski. You know, like when Jankowski came through and played at the same level, and there was all kinds of hype around him for his I think Calgary took him at 16 that year, excuse me, and there was all kinds of hype that he could end up being, you know, that, I don't know, maybe a two at the worst in the NHL, the way that they were hyping him up. My experience over the years, guys, and this is not to discount the player whatsoever, I think that this kid has got tons of momentum. I think, you know, the way you mentioned it, I mean, anytime you get a 6'6 body, you can move, you can handle it, and you can do some, you know, positive things the way he does, it's obviously attractive. It jumps off the page. It even jumps off the page more at the level. So you have to, you know, kind of, you have to reserve judgment, and you have to be realistic. You know, place him in even the second, place him in U20 in your mind in Sweden, or place him in Liga, you know, in Finland. You have to kind of think all these things through. For me personally, I think that he's going to go to the USHL at the end of the year is my understanding. He might even end up, and I'm hoping for this when I'm over in Finland for the Worlds, I'm hoping he ends up on Canada's U18 team, because that will be the ultimate test at the World. But my comfort level is early second round, like around more 40, you know, more in that 40 hole. I've got him just outside of 40 right now on my list. Other guys have earned more. I'm hoping that he does really well, but I'm not jumping up in the first round at this point to take the kid, although he's got that longer playing out to develop, which is a good thing. And going to BC, I hope they're going to be a wagon for a while, and that'll be good for him too.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Jay. He's number 20 on NHL Central Scouting's midterm report. But yeah, you know, it'd be nice to see him in some of these international events and how he stacks up against his peers. And you're right, as Adam mentioned, at 6'6", 210 pounds, I mean, that is massive. So it's obviously, you know, when you have that type of stature, GMs and scouts are going to take notice. So it'll be interesting to see where he falls over. But I'm with you. I think maybe a second round, mid-second round would be great for him. To wrap it up here, Jay, and this has been fantastic stuff. Thank you as always. But can you maybe give us a late first round or second round projected player you would be, you know, kind of chomping at the bit to select and develop if you were an NHL GM, and why?
Well, one of my favorite guys right now is Teddy Stiga from the U.S. National Team Development Program. I think he's got some Gavin Brindley in him, to be honest, and I love Gavin Brindley from last year. He's not as naturally gifted as Brindley is. Like, his handles aren't as natural, if you will. But, wow, this kid plays like his hair's on fire. He's built like a fire hydrant. He tracks up and down the ice. He scores. He plays the game the right way, and it's infectious. So when I see a guy that's scoring well over a point a game, there's only one puck at the U.S. National Team Development Program. You got to earn your stripes to get power play time. I feel like this kid's earned everything he's got there. That's a name to keep an eye on, because with his compete and his skill and his pace, he can play a variety of roles up and down your lineup, guys, bring exceptional value in my estimation.
Well, Jason, we could keep you for another hour talking about all these great prospects for the 24 draft, but thank you so much for joining us today in NHL Draft Class, and we'll be sure to keep an eye on your stuff on sportsnet.ca.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, boys. See you at the rinks.
Some great stuff there, Adam. Jason Buchel, as always, you know, helping us break it down, his top 40 on sportsnet.ca, and of course, .com, we ran our top 32. And I thought it was interesting, you know, Jason had at number two in his rankings, you know, Ivan Dimadov from Torpedo in the KHL, and exceptional player, obviously, so many tools. But when I just watch Artem Levchinov of Michigan State, it's just very hard for me to not think that a scout or a general manager is not thinking the same thing I'm thinking. And the ceiling on this kid, Adam, when watching video and seeing him, is just extraordinary. I know when we had Dan Marr on draft class at the midterm release, he even said that Levchinov could be the most NHL-ready player of this draft because of his combination of the physical maturity, the composure he shows, you know, how he plays the game. And the other thing that that just keeps going, you know, just is in my head when I'm thinking of the player, is the fact that he's the third youngest player in college hockey behind Macklin Celebrini, obviously number one in the top 32, and Ziv Buyum from Denver, who we have number five in the top 32. So Marr spoke very highly of, obviously, of Ziv Buyum as well. The consistency he's shown as a freshman on a championship team, taking over as one of their top players, it's been real impressive. And Buyum is actually giving Celebrini a little bit of a run in the points department as well, and he's a defenseman. So the conversation is going to be a lot longer at Central's final meeting set to take place in April. But, you know, Levchinov to me right now, and who knows, right, Adam, maybe Dimadov will move and we'll have our mock drafts upcoming soon enough, but maybe Dimadov will move into those higher ranks at number two. But right now for me, I cannot have Levchinov at no other place than two, just because of the ceiling that I see for this player. And obviously, Adam, you know, Macklin Celebrini, he's heads and shoulders above every prospect in this draft.
Well, what really stood out to me from Jason is when he compared Celebrini to a kind of a mix of Jonathan Toews and Adam Fantilli, because he plays that complete three zone game where he's very responsible defensively, as well as piling up the points. And you saw he sort of walked down the Nathan MacKinnon path just a bit. And as he said, that is a little rich to put on a kid. And I don't blame him for only kind of heading down that path just a little bit, because that, you know, that's a lot to when you look at a 17-year-old kid. But, you know, you see where he is now and you project it forward, and with the work ethic, the responsibility. And remember, it didn't happen for Nathan MacKinnon overnight. He needed a few seasons to become what he is now. Now, obviously, I think Celebrini is going to come in at 18. To repeat what Jason said, I also think Celebrini's NHL ready. Like, I don't think there's a season two for him, even though, you know, Cole Eiserman will be there next year. And those two, we know how close they are. I'm sure they'd love to be teammates again. But I just think the pull of having to play, being able to play in the NHL next season for whatever team is lucky enough to win the draft lottery and have the number one pick, I think it's going to be too great. I think Celebrini, similar to Connor Bedard, is going to make that jump to the NHL. And I think he's going to have a chance to be an impact player in the NHL next season. But the other thing that stood out to me is Anton Seleyev. You know, size still matters in the NHL. And I know we've sort of crossed over from, you got to be big and strong to play defense in the NHL. You know, you look at a Quinn Hughes, Adam Fox, Cale Makar. They're not your prototypical 6'3", 220-pound guys who play defense. These guys are on the smaller size, skate well, offensively minded, but very responsible defensively. Well, then you've got a 6'7", 211-pound monster who skates really well, can be offensive, but you put that guy with your top pair, you know, offensive go-go-go guy, what a fantastic, you know, pair. That's kind of the dream pair, right? Like, you cover the Devils. Remember Niedermeyer and Stevens together. You know, you had one guy who could just take the puck and go, and another guy who could kind of hang back and clean up if anything gets through. Well, now you've got, instead of, you know, the Scott Stevens type, you've got a 6'7" guy who can, you know, basically cover the entire blue line if he puts his arms out sideways. So to me, that's a guy that's going to be really hard to pass on at the draft. And I'm really curious to see, as we kind of move forward here and start talking to more scouts, like, can we see a quote unquote defensive minded defenseman be a top five pick?
It would be interesting. It's rare. Everyone goes for those offensive defensemen, but you're seeing more of a, you know, obviously that even the recent trade, right, Adam, with Chris Tanev going from the Flames to Dallas. Chris Tanev is a defensive defenseman, righty shot. I mean, he's a player that is in high demand because teams still need those guys, those stay at home guys that are going to, you know, clear the crease and make the transitional passes to the forwards. Siliev is that player. There's no doubt. 98 hits, 74 block shots in 63 games this year. But real quick, just going to the opposite end of the spectrum there, when we're talking about, and I asked Jason about maybe his surprise players of this draft, maybe later first, second round. Cole Hutson, 5'10", 165 pounds, the brother of Lane Hutson, who's lighting it up at BU, and the Montreal Canadiens managerial team is grinning ear to ear with what they're seeing out of Lane Hutson this year. Cole, his brother, plays with the National Team Development Program, U18 team. He's got game-breaking ability from the back end, skates so efficiently, sees the ice so well, and much like his brother, Lane, you know, chosen in the second round by the Canadiens, he skates like the wind and can get those shots off. So a lot of good in Cole Hutson, too. Doesn't have the size of Vasiliev, obviously, but he can be effective in different ways. And that's what makes this draft interesting, right, Adam? So you have Cole Hutson at 5'10", 165. It looks like he might join his brother at BU in the fall. We'll see. I'm sure that's being considered right now by the Canadiens if they want to bring Lane over. We'll see if he signs or not. But that'll be an interesting decision to be made. But Cole Hutson is one of those players, Adam. Don't count him out. He went in the second round to the Canadiens. Maybe GMs and teams are going to say to themselves, we can't let this guy fall in the second because he's going to be swapped up pretty quickly.
Cole Hutson, let's talk about your top 32 list. Cole Hutson did not make the NHL.com top 32, but there are a lot of guys who did. And I'm curious, and we asked Jason about Caden Lindstrom from Medicine Hat. You have him at number 7 on the list. How hard was it in your mind to place a guy who hasn't played a game since December, and we don't know when he's going to play again?
Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, that's when you go to go to the sources, the scouts, and see what they're thinking. Because I know when I watch video and you've watched it too, Adam, this is a spectacular player. We've seen it. He goes about 6'3", 210. Every scout that I've spoken to thinks real highly of Lidstrom, despite the time that he's missed. And in 32 games, he scored 27 goals. So it's unfortunate the injury was there, but we've seen this in the past where top-tier players get injured, but then are effective players once they're drafted. Now, is Caden Lindstrom that type player that after he's drafted is going to be with that NHL team the following season? I don't think so. He's a center who'll probably, you know, develop a little more, mature his game. And obviously after this injury, I'm sure whichever team does draft him wants to see him grow and develop. You know, maybe in a major junior back at Medicine Hat to see what he's able to do, you know, for maybe a couple of years, who knows, but there are a few players in this draft, that could be taken in the first round, Adam, that, have been injured most of the year and will be out for, if not the extent of the year, maybe another month or two. I'm thinking too of Adam Juracek from Pilsen in the Czech Republic. You know, Adam got injured at the World Junior Championship. I think it was the first game of the tournament for Czechia. And he was a top 10 defenseman going off the board. But now we'll see where Adam falls. And I had Adam at number 18, a defenseman, you know, a right-handed shot, real effective in what I've seen in the video in previous years and even in the early stages of this season and what he was able to do in Czechia's top division there. So we'll see what happens. These things happen all the time. Teams still select them. I don't think he's going to drop out of the top 20, 25 for sure. So we'll see how it goes, but these are exceptional players, and knowing that, you know, they're in their late teens, 17, 18 years old, there's still plenty of time to grow, build, mature, grow, and you know, work on those injuries. So they'll be fine at the time they're drafted and maybe 3-4 years from now.
Well, you can see the entire list, the top 32 from NHL.com on NHL.com. Mike put that together. It came out today. And to learn more about the draft, please check out previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We've talked to some of the top players. We had Tiija Ginla from Kelowna, who is number 10 on your list. Yeah, number 10 in the top 32. You can listen to Tiija. He's got a slightly famous father you might have heard of. Goes by the name of Jerome McGinley. We also have had Dan Marr on to talk about the midterm rankings, the NHL Central Scouting Director. There's all sorts of great stuff you can find. Just go back, listen to all the previous episodes. You can learn all about what's going to happen as we get closer to June and the draft, and we're going to have more top prospects on, more of the best scouts on, and Mike, we're going to have more top 32 rankings here as we move forward, because the draft list is ever-evolving as we check in with teams throughout the rest of the season.
It certainly is, and just to add to what you mentioned there about draft class, we did also speak with Artem Levchinov early in the season. Interesting interview there with the Michigan State defenseman, who was number 2 in our top 32. So you might want to check that out as well.
Absolutely. But for now, thank you for listening. But NHL Draft Class is dismissed.